Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is, I'll Do It My Way. Our continuing sermon series on Psalm 23, The Lord is My Shepherd. I encourage you to turn to the back of your worship folder and find there your sermon outline as we consider the theme of I'll Do It My Way. Well, I promised a number of you, for the first time in my life, I have a sermon about golf, and here it comes. Most of you know that my favorite sport is God's favorite sport, baseball. And many of you know also that I love to run, and I run 6 days a week. But recently I read an article about a sport I have no interest in at all. Golf. The story was about a French golfer in the British Open held in Scotland. The golfer had a 7-stroke lead with only one hole left to go. The Frenchman's name was Jean Van de Velde. He was 6 strokes and 480 yards away from a prestigious championship, from world fame, and from a lot of money. All he had to do was take 6 strokes in a hole that normally took somebody 4, and an announcer was to have said this, "My mother could make a 6 on a par 4. All Van de Velde had to do, said the announcer, was play conservatively, use the 6 strokes, win the hole, and smile for the cameras. Oh, but the French love to flirt. Van de Velde pulled out his driver and tried to do in 1 shot what he comfortably could do in 3. The announcer said with utter shock, "He's holding a driver. What's he thinking?" After the tournament, Van de Velde's caddy announced what he was thinking when he said, "I think he and I, we wanted too much show and too much pride." To make a long, sad story short, what happened? Instead of playing the hole as everyone knew he should, he stubbornly decided to do it his way. And whack, clang, plop, 1 shot caromed off some bleacher seats, another landed in some water, and one found a sand trap. He never recovered. Van de Velde lost the tournament. I guess one could say that in this case, golf reveals a lot about a person. What the 18th hole in that tournament revealed about Van de Velde reminds me a lot about you and about me. I've done the same thing, and so have you. The same doggone thing. All he needed was a 5-iron, so they tell me. But instead he pulled out the driver. In our case, all you needed to do was apologize. But you had to argue. All you needed to do was to listen. But instead you had to argue. All you need to do was to be patient, but you had to take control. All you and I needed to do was to give the matter in faith to God, but instead we tried to fix it all by ourselves. Why don't we leave the driver in the bag? I know how the caddy would answer. I think we want too much pride and too much show. Too much independence. Too much self-reliance. I don't need advice. Whack. I can handle this all by myself. Clang. I don't need God, the Lord, to direct me and be my shepherd. Plop. Can you relate? We all can. Way too often, our personal theme song is the famous theme song of Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. We sinful, prideful human beings so often want to do things our way. Forget the best way. Forget the common sense way. Forget God's way. We want to do things our way. And according to the Holy Bible, that's precisely our problem. Isaiah 53 verse 6 connects this truth to the truth of Psalm 23 when the prophet said these words, "All we like sheep have wandered away. Each of us have gone our own way." Now you wouldn't think that a sheep would be so stubborn and obstinate. Of all of God's creatures on this good earth, a sheep is the least able to take care of itself. Look at your sermon outline. Sheep are dumb. I mean, duh, dumb. Have you ever met a sheep trainer? Have you ever seen sheep tricks? Do you know anyone who's taught his sheep to roll over? Have you ever witnessed a circus featuring the great Mazagon and his amazing performing sheep? No, sheep are dumb. And sheep are defenseless. They have no fangs. They have no claws. They can't outrun you. Have you ever noticed in sports that sheep are never team mascots? We've heard of the Chicago Bulls. We've heard of the Seattle Seahawks. You've heard of the BC Lions. But the New York Lambs? Who wants to be a lamb? You couldn't even set up a decent cheer for lamb cheerleaders. I tried. We are the sheep. We don't make a peep. Victory's yours to keep. But count us if you want to sleep. What more? Sheep are dirty. A cat can clean itself. So can a dog. We see birds in a bird bath, bears in the river, but sheep get dirty and stay that way. Couldn't King David, in this 23rd Psalm, thought of something better than calling the Lord our shepherd and we his sheep? How about this? The Lord is my commander and I'm his warrior. Oh, we like the sound of that. A warrior gets a uniform and a weapon and even maybe a medal. Or, the Lord is my king and I'm his ambassador. Who wouldn't want to be a spokesman for God? Everybody stops when the ambassador speaks. But who notices and who cares when God's sheep show up? Only one person notices. Only one person cares. And that's precisely the point of David's 23rd Psalm. As the king of Israel, do you remember? David was a warrior. David was an ambassador for God. But when David searched for an illustration to explain to us the nature of God, he remembered the days of his own youth when he was a shepherd boy. He remembered how he lavished attention on his beloved sheep day and night. He remembered how he protected them against predators by his rod, how he gently guided them with his staff, how he slept with them out in the fields, how he poured wine on their cuts and oil to prevent insects and parasites from hurting them. And the way he cared for his sheep reminded David of the way Almighty God cares for all of us. David rejoiced to declare, "The Lord is my shepherd." And in doing so, he proudly acknowledged, "And I am his beloved sheep." Are you still uncomfortable with being called a sheep? Well, how about taking a simple quiz this morning? See if you're succeeding in your life today in complete, full-blown, don't need anybody else or God, self-reliance. See if you're succeeding in doing it my way. Raise your hand if any of these statements perfectly apply to you. Number one, you can always control your moods. You're never grumpy. You're never upset with anyone or anything. You're always upbeat. You're always upright. Does that describe you? Well, if not, how about the next one? You are at peace with everybody. Every relationship you have in your life is as sweet as fudge. No grudges, no past hurts, no present wounds. You are loved by all and you love all. Does that describe you? Don't see any hands. Let's go to the next one. You have no fears in your life. Your bank account reads zero, and you say, no problem. The doctor says cancer's been discovered, and you say, oh, yeah. Your children are really making some bad choices, and your response, hey, what's for dinner? Does that describe you? How about this one? I haven't seen a hand go up yet. You need no forgiveness. You've never made a mistake. You've never sinned against another person. Your life is as clean as grandma's kitchen. You've never lied. You've never cheated. You've never lied about cheating. No hands yet, hey? Let's evaluate this. You can't control your moods. So you hurt others and you hurt yourself. There are important relationships in your life that are lacking peace and love. You have real fears over matters you can't control. All these symptoms clearly tell us what the Bible has told us. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have gone to our own way. The Bible says we are sinners. We need a Savior. We need a good shepherd. We need His guidance and forgiveness. Sounds like to me that each of us here this morning needs to let go of that myth of our own self-reliance. Sounds like to me, you and I could use a good shepherd. Otherwise, you might end up with a 23rd Psalm that sounds like this. I am my own shepherd, and I'm always in need. I stumble from one self-help book to the next, but I find no relief. I creep through the valley of the shadow of death, and I'm falling apart. I fear everything from pesticides to power lines, and I'm starting to act like my mother. I anoint my head with extra strength Tylenol. And my glass of Jack Daniel's whiskey runneth over. Surely misery will follow me all the days of my life, and I will end up dwelling I don't know where forever. Why is it so often that those who so need a good shepherd resist him so much? Here's a question for the Jean van de Velde golfers of life who stubbornly declare, I'll do it my way, and continue to end up in their own personal water hazards and sand traps. Every Scotsman in heaven says, aye, laddie, do it God's way. Every page of Holy Scripture gently says, my dearly beloved, do it God's way. Life experience day after day whispers to us, do it God's way. And what is God's way? Listen carefully to this statement. God's way is simply surrendering to Him, to receive from Him His guidance, His forgiveness, His strength. Remember that Isaiah 53 passage about a stubborn sheep? Remember that it began this way. All we like sheep have wandered away. Each of us has gone his own way. It began that way, but it didn't end it. Listen to how this passage is reads in its fullness. All we like sheep have wandered away, each to our own way. But the Lord has laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. The iniquities, the sins of the sheep have been laid upon the shepherd. We stubborn, prideful, sinful sheep have wandered. We've gone our own way. But our good shepherd loves us too much to let our sins destroy us. He allows, did you catch that? He allows our sins to be heaped upon Him. He, our good shepherd, bears these sins to the cross. He pays for those sins on the cross. He dies for those sins on the cross. The same 53rd chapter of Isaiah has this to say about your good shepherd. It says, "Surely He has borne our griefs and sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He poured His soul out to death." Who is this good shepherd? He Himself tells us in John chapter 10. Listen to these precious words of Jesus. He says, "I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. No one takes My life from Me. I lay it down of Myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again." God's way is to love wayward people. God's way is to love His stubborn sheep. He has loved us unto death. He has loved us unto an empty grave. He has loved us to life everlasting. And He has risen and loves us and tenderly cares for us every day. Like a good shepherd protects and guards his sheep in that field day after day after day. With his rod and his staff, he would both protect you and guide you. And so our Heavenly Father, our Lord, our Shepherd, invites us to turn to Him daily in Scripture and in prayer so that He can protect, that He can comfort, so that He can guide us, so that we can set aside our stubborn pride, surrender to His love, receive from Him His guidance, and then tackle the challenges and problems that life brings our way. Well, remember Van de Velde, Jean, the French golfer at the British Open? After losing the British Open, the golfer Jean Van de Velde was found with his face in his hands. And he was heard to say this, and I quote, "Next time, I will use the wedge and not the driver. Next time, I will not be so stubborn. Next time, I won't do it my way." You and me both, John. You and me both. Let's do it God's way. In the name of Jesus, our good shepherd.